drones.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I have notes all over my desk, and they're in my handwriting. Some half of them I can't read, but I just have one that says Shatner with a question mark because I want to understand your profile picture on Facebook. this is the only chance I got to ask you about that.
Is your Skype okay?
Mine is.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll just deal.
Is it okay? I mean, I have no problem seeing you guys unless you have problems.
No.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
It was like a little fuzzy for a second. So, anyway, what were you saying?
Go ahead, Jackie, please.
Shatner.
Oh, yeah. Shatner. No. Yeah, right. That's important.
Yeah, that's just dreams coming true, man.
no, please, you can't.
Shatner and Star Wars. I mean, she's she's got a pretty celebrity laden life, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I went to MegaCon, so that's like kind of like a Comic-Con in Tampa and Orlando, and Shatner was there, and I paid money to stand next to him and act like I wasn't paying attention to him.
Are you serious? That's amazing.
Probably a lot of money too, right?
No, actually, he was very reasonable.
Yeah,
it was under $100. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, that's a bargain. Hello.
Yeah, wait, how far under $100 is reasonable?
Like 99.
Like $30 under.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, come on, to meet William Shatner.
You know, you could have paid $70 to stand near to me and not care. In fact, is that a job? Can I do that?
Yeah, it literally looks like one of those sort of cardboard cutout things where you can stand near a celebrity and pretend that you're with them, but you did the opposite, which is great.
Yeah, I know, and I will tell you the truth. I spent about 3 hours before I met him Googling how to pose in pictures, and then I practiced really hard. I was even silently practicing in line because this had to be, you know, this it's had to important. Be perfect.
Yeah. You don't want to fuck this up.
I'm going to be staring at this at night for the rest of my life. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Yeah, it's a picture of me and William Shatner. It's very, very neat.
That's very awesome. I don't know how I could actually, well, aside from paying $70, how I could emulate that.
Yeah.
You want to do a show?
Sure.
I guess you want to talk Twin Peaks, or are we done with that?
I mean, we're done with Shatner, so let's move on to Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so more Twin Peaks, good?
Yeah, more I'm good.
Shatner bad?
Mm-hmm.
No, all right.
Shatner's not bad.
All right. Well, we have a show. It's Friday night when we're recording this. Criterion Now 36. Doug and Jackie, The Return. We're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Twin Peaks. We're probably a little loopy. It's a Friday night. I'm on sleep deprivation plus mild intoxication. Not really. So anyway, Doug and Jackie. Doug, hello.
Hi, how are you? I'm so happy to be here. This is so much fun.
It is fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jackie, is it fun for you?
It's all right.
It's okay. It's not Shatner, I know. You can just stand there and pretend like you don't care. It might make the experience
I care.
A little.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's been going on, Dougie?
I mean, you know what goes on with me. I do my podcast every 2 weeks. It's called Good Times, Great Movies, in case anybody out there wants to listen. We do have a lot of crossover. We do have crossover, and I appreciate that. I hear from Tim Lego a lot.
Yeah.
And I know you do too, Aaron.
I do, yeah.
And that's the only person that I assume listens to my show. But go listen to it if you don't already.
Hey, Tim,
if you've tried it and hate it, try it again, I guess.
He's a good commenter, so you probably have maybe 5-6 more listeners.
Okay. At least two
sure,
more.
Why not?
Yeah.
No, it is a good
yeah,
show.
Sure.
It really doesn't really tie in too well with this show. Well, I guess kind of 80s, but Twin Peaks is really not like the kind of stuff you cover.
Well, the only real tie in to this is we just went through October. October is wrapping up, so we did horror films, mm-hmm. and we did the film Waxwork, which stars a pre Twin Peaks. All right, stars is maybe not the term, but Dana Ashbrook, a year before Twin Peaks. So some crossover, some relationship there.
Your Skype's cutting out. Hey.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Is it for you too, Jackie?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doug.
It's you, Doug.
What is going on here?
It's bandwidth, man. You can't mess with bandwidth. It's Judy. We're not going to talk about Judy.
If it gets really bad, let me know, and you guys will do the show alone, I guess.
Should we record tracks? Or I forget, Jack, you can't do that, right?
No.
Okay. Well, we're just going to have to suffer. And, you know, having Dougie on a podcast is kind of suffering enough. So it doesn't matter if you're pixelated every now and then or whatever the audio equivalent of that is. Mm-hmm. So all right, I'm going to leave that in.
just cut me out completely. Just leave me out.
No, I'm leaving that whole thing in. So everybody knows that Dougie has bandwidth problems. And it just got dark, too. Dim the lights?
Oh my gosh, you have no lights on?
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm good. No, sorry. I was.
Is this mood lighting or is Battle Lamente going to start playing a score?
For backup sake, I was going to record my end separately. Uh-huh. So I just opened a new window. That's it.
Okay. Jackie, how have you been? Besides the Shatner thing.
Great. Absolutely great. How about you guys? Awesome.
Yeah.
Watching a lot of movies? Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you guess? And been watching Twin Peaks, so and Firewalk with Me, and we're going to get into all that. So this is the Twin Peaks part. Is it part two? Boy, I should remember this stuff, but have we done two of these or three of these?
This is the second.
Yeah.
But we did an episode before. Unofficial, right. We kind of did a prequel to Twin Peaks, and then we did the midquel. I think that was after episode 8, right? And that was right when I binge watched. I took Doug's advice. Skip season 2.
Don't do that. That's terrible.
I think I made the right decision. I think you were right, Doug. And in fact, you've been right a few times. We're going to get into that.
Okay.
A few times, you know. Don't get carried away here. All right. No. So anyway, a little bit of Criterion stuff before we get into the fun Twin Peaks. Just housekeeping. That's what the show is. So, you know, got to please the Legos, right? We had Criterion stuff. So just released, we had Personal Shopper, which is kind of sort of horror-ish, kind of artsy horror, I guess. I have a feeling you will have something to say about that. That came out just a couple days ago, and then we have a break, and then in the first week of November, we have The Philadelphia Story, which is not very horrific at all, from what I understand. But actually, you can probably relate, Dougie, because, you know, you're in Philadelphia, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my life is nothing like the Philadelphia Story. I mean, well, proximity-wise, I'm pretty close.
But your life is a Philadelphia Story, so, you know, there's
it
that.
It is.
Yeah, the movie equivalent would probably not
entirely. No, go ahead. I am lagging, and I apologize because I don't know what's wrong. I know, and I'm trying to just shut everything down. I'm trying to figure this out.
Uh-huh. It's okay. You're mostly legible.
All right.
Okay. So and then you know, I barely even watched it, but the internet went crazy, and I actually don't know if this really ties into the show, but PTA's Phantom Thread trailer came out. Do we care?
Yeah. His last movie. I mean, why not? I have.
Is it really his last movie or
I have The Room?
And Daniel Day is, you know, I think that's an event thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't care about the trailer, but I care about the film, definitely.
Okay, well, good thing that we don't have to just watch the trailer for an hour and a half. So I actually didn't watch the trailer. I kind of watched the beginning, and it looked good, and I was like, okay, that's enough. But everybody was going nuts, so I figured we obligatory mention since PTA is now in the collection. So, you know, maybe 10 years from now, this will be too. I'm assuming it'll be good. Excuse me. Okay, moving right on. I'm not going to burp on the air like Howard Stern.
So anyway, actually, a good friend of mine, Keith, broke some news of ours, broke some news this week. He, on his Criterion Completion episode, he talked about touring the Criterion Collection, and I've actually been there twice, but he got more access than me. I'm not jealous. I'm actually pretty pretty thrilled, actually, by hearing his experience. And so he talked about it for the first, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of his episode and went into a lot of detail. And no, everybody, you cannot tour the Criterion Collection. He had a hookup, so that's why you do that. In fact, you shouldn't even show up like I did. I was that asshole, the one that he talks about that they're trying to prevent. But there was he teased a little bit. Now, and I'm good friends with Keith, in fact, very good friends, and he probably wouldn't tell me, but I could ask him like 10 times, but maybe I could drop enough hints that I could like pull it out of him. But, I don't even know if he knows, but he said that there's another, centennial release coming up. And of course the Olympics just came out, so that's a big deal. And that's what they talked about. So I think, my guess, and again, Keith didn't tell me a thing, but a certain Ingmar Bergman has a birthday in July of next year, 100th birthday. So it could be like a gigantic.
He's so old.
I know. He doesn't look a day over 99. that's cool. So his 100th birthday, if he were alive, and we also have evidence of him of there being a supplement recorded, because Peter Cowie's the pretty much the preeminent Bergman expert, and he did an interview. So what do you think? Do we care about a Bergman centennial release? I'll start with Jackie.
Do I care? Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. What do you mean, like a collection of all his works? Because that would be...
It's rampant speculation.
Obviously dope, yeah.
It's basically based on like one sentence of his whole entire podcast that I just kind of ran with. But
okay, this is definitely happening. There's going to be like...
Absolutely.
The most amazing supplements and... artwork? Oh my gosh.
It's
I can't wait.
100 we'll years, 200 films.
amazing.
But I don't know. Centennial release, anything else from 1918 you think that could be a big deal?
1918?
I don't know if you've been researching 1918 in the past few weeks.
Literally, I was trying to think, and I'm like, World War One, and then I just stopped.
Yeah? Well, you were so accurate. Maybe a World War One box set of just 1918. Maybe. Okay, so we don't know. Anyway, so expect a centennial release that may be July, maybe Bergman, maybe something completely different. Doug, are you excited about that maybe?
I would love more Bergen. I would love more Bergen.
Candace Bergen. Murphy Brown.
Candace Bergen. A Murphy Brown box set.
100th anniversary of that TV show.
I would super dig that. I would totally get that if that was released. I would certainly love Bergman, but I don't know. Like a centennial release, 1918. Yeah, Jackie, I was just like you. I have not been researching that year.
You didn't prep 1918 for this podcast? Guys.
No, I didn't. Oh. I'm sorry. I mean, I just do randomly look up years from time to time.
We're just skimming Wikipedia. All right. 18, 19, what the hell? Yeah. Well, who knows? That could just be a guess. I'm sure, though, because we mentioned it, it'll be on all the prediction threads, especially for July. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to get some Bergman in 2018, whether it's centennial.
And now you have. Mm-hmm.
And so I was confirmed that we're definitely getting Silence of the Lambs. I think it's been confirmed like three times, but it was like officially confirmed because they talked about the restoration and they mentioned it's going to be a Criterion release in early 2018. So is that cool? And I'll start with you, Dougie. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's definitely cool. I'm more interested in what sort of supplements they have, definitely. You know, I really enjoy films I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a film I've seen 20 times.
Really?
Like, I'm not that excited. Yeah. I'm not that excited to open it up and pop it back in and watch it. But supplements, things like that, anything they poured over from the old release, because I don't have the old release. And anything new they can get is definitely welcome. Sure.
You know what's great is I'm going to be editing some blank spots, and then like there'll be gaps, and then
You'll sound like the Chipmunks. It's going to be great.
I should just drop out now.
It's working.
And because I can't tell, because you guys are not lagging, so I can't tell from your expressions what is happening.
It's a, blame Doug. Yeah, it's okay.
It never seems like an issue until after I'm done talking, and then Jackie just starts laughing.
Now you have reason to listen to the show.
So. I don't need reason. I listen to it all the time.
Well, I mean to yourself and to really pay attention.
Oh, I don't like to do that.
Yeah, see? Yeah. And you might not like those it this time.
Yeah, those are the episodes I do not listen to. Sorry.
No offense. You were there. In fact, I don't either, and that's pretty much all of them. So, Jackie, Silence of the Lambs, nice. What do you think?
I don't know. Okay, so question. You know, Silence of the Lambs was so popular when it came out, you know, just universal popularity among any moviegoer. Mm-hmm. Is it among film heads? Is it also, like, revered? As someone transitioning from just watching a lot of movies to learning more about movies, so what would you say?
Well, some people, I have it on good authority, have watched it 20 times.
Wow.
I know. So okay. If you've watched a movie 20 times, I mean, 21 should be okay, right?
Yeah, okay. So it's worth a critical revisit. Okay. All right. Well, then I'm excited.
So I was there.
I'm excited for everyone.
I think I'm a smidge older than you. So I remember when it came out, and it was a big deal when it came out. And I think it has a good legacy. I think it kind of ushered in some of the thrillers of the 90s. I don't know. Do you agree, Doug, Mr. 20 Times?
Guys, it's on TV all the time. I feel like I've seen Legally Blonde 20 times. It's the same deal.
Oh, well, come on. You're not going to equate Legally Blonde. This is not Law and Order. Come on.
They're both on cable constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is the Philadelphia Stories on TCM, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I just tore through that argument.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to see a movie,
Jackie, I don't think it's anything. I don't know. It's not bad. Like, I equate it to, like, Shawshank. It's a movie like Shawshank, right, which is a good movie. Mm-hmm. It's an enjoyable movie. There are film snobs that love it, but I think as a whole, the film elite community, I'm not trying to offend anybody by saying that, probably wouldn't put The Silence of the Lambs with, and now I can't even think of other movies, but anything Bergman made.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
So it's like a blockbuster that is embraced by the community.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I think it has some art sensibilities. Mm-hmm. And by the way, watching Doug talk is kind of like watching either a badly dubbed giallo or like a kung fu movie.
Guys, I'm just going to do this, and that'll be great.
Let's talk some Twin Peaks. That's what we're here for, right? Right, Dougie? Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's just get right into it. So we're going to talk about Twin Peaks, The Return. That was kind of a big deal. And if you don't mind, I'd like to get into the ending. And don't worry, people, we'll have some spoiler warnings. I'll put some time markers. I want to hear your interpretations. I have no idea. And that might be the correct answer. That's fine. And I don't know. Can you really spoil Twin Peaks, though? We'll cover that. So we're also going to talk about Fire Walk With Me, which I revisited. I think you've seen it about maybe – is it 20 times, Doug?
20 times, yes.
20 times, okay. And
I put it in Legally Blonde. I stacked two TVs, and I just put them on and watched simultaneously. It's pretty great.
That actually could be an awesome experience. Mm-hmm. Twin Peaks meets Legally Blonde. The bar scene takes on a whole new context. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to talk a little bit about The Art Life. I didn't have enough time to watch it again. I turned it on, and I'd seen it before. It's not a rewatch movie, so I kind of had it on in the background while I was like playing on the internet. So hopefully you have some things to say about it. But anyway, TV show. So, first let me start with the Blu-ray. It was announced for December 5th. Now, all right, like, say we're in a bind financially. Are we buying this? Or are we not buying this? I'm going to start with you, Jackie. Not that you're in a bind financially, just because I started with Doug last time.
I'm buying it. Mm-hmm.
So far, it's like $60. I think it'll come down.
you know, maybe.
Oh, wait, $60? I'm buying it in the summer.
It might come down. I mean, you know, those pre-order prices always are pretty inflated. Mm-hmm. It's loaded. It has like a gazillion hours of it's actually unique because David Lynch is the anti-supplement guy. I mean, he's not quite Woody Allen in a few respects, hopefully. But he I don't want to get any Woody Allen hate. Just don't send me emails. but he generally just likes a couple supplements. But looks like this has like a gazillion things. Some behind the scenes documentaries. Some things made by the cast. I don't know if you looked at the entire list, but Dougie, are you buying this? Or are you even hesitating?
I'll buy it. I don't know about immediately. I still sometimes kick myself for buying that whole big season 1 and 2 Fire Walk With Me box set because it's literally sitting on my shelf and I see it all the time on Blu-ray.com and it keeps going down. It's like $25 now and I spent 70 or 80 on it.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I'll buy it, but maybe not right away. But you're right. There's like 8.5 hours of bonus footage.
And it looked great streaming, but I just think that Blu-ray, it'll look so much better. And and yeah, I kind of would want to dig back into it.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I wish there – he would never do it, but I wish there was like some sort of director's commentary or anything. Give us something, David. Come on. and there's a book coming out. Jackie, I know you're into the book. The Dossier, is it? So what's the deal with this?
The Final Dossier? You know, to be honest, I'm not too sure. I think it's just going to start filling in the gaps, supposedly. But so I really don't have many details, yeah.
It'll answer some questions, you think? Or basically just create... Like
okay,
answer
more
two
speculation.
And
yeah, I don't know.
50 more questions. Well, have you read the other one? Because he's done this before, right? This is Mark Frost. He's the co-producer, creator, or whatever.
Yes. So before the show came back, this was released. And so it takes you through the history of Twin Peaks, beginning, you know, in the early settlement, you know, through the Lewis and Clark. It ties in like Roswell and just sort of a bunch of actual historic American events and tries to tie it into the weirdness of Twin Peaks.
Huh. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Including like nuclear bomb testing, like getting some of, I think I talked about this in another one, like uranium or something is mined out of Twin Peaks. And so like the Twin Peaks spirits, I don't know.
That kind of became relevant, though, maybe, kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, I don't know if that's not quite what I was expecting. I was hoping it would be like this 400-page tome that just, like, answers everything. Like, what the fuck's a teapot? Who's Judy? What year is this? No? No?
Nope. And okay. It's all, like, you know, supposed to be, like, source material. So it's all like FBI notes or, you know, handwritten documents, you know, for you to kind of shuffle through. It's fun because you can flip through it any way you want, front to back, back to front, pop it open, read something random.
Okay. So I just thought it was like Reddit, basically.
Oh my gosh, we wish.
Or the Twin Peaks Facebook, which has
been
cool.
Oh my gosh.
I got in there. That's neat. So, all right. Well, the last time we talked about Twin Peaks, episode 8 had just started, and I had just finished season 1.5 because I did not get through 2, and I'm still cool with that. I think now I think season 3 and I've now watched Fire Walk With Me twice, which we'll talk about. But episode 8 was pretty awesome, and then Dougie, you had some predictions. Mm-hmm. Well, you had some reservations about Dougie. You didn't like Dougie. But you said, and I quote, it's not really a quote.
I like to think that you have it written down somewhere.
I prepped by listening to that episode 20 times.
Oh, great. Okay.
I quote, the next few episodes are going to be shit, and then they'll be good again. And Dougie won't be resolved until episode 17. You actually weren't far off.
Nailed it.
The next episode was, I mean... Yeah, you can't really compete with...
Well, you know what? I mean, I might have been right about the Dougie end, but I was personally bummed out when I watched the next episode and it wasn't shit because I
actually it was pretty good. Yeah.
I thought every episode was fantastic after that. I mean, I don't, it's me and I'm obsessed with it and I'm a weird Lynch head, I guess. But there was, there were down moments. But as a series, I thought it was fantastic.
I think that's fair. Yeah. It was up and down, but, the scene where I'm not going to spoil specifics, but in the car with the swirling in the air and a certain person meets their end. I mean, there's so many of those and there's some silliness too. I know that you didn't like Dougie. Did you come around on Dougie ever?
No, I never did. I never ever
you
did.
You hated him.
Oh, that's terrible.
What about
there were times where I was laughing. I loved it when this kid got that jungle gym, which looked like the lamest jungle gym ever. Because it was just Christmas lights and a spotlight. Yeah. And I was laughing hysterically. My wife even walked in and looked at the TV. And she's like, what the hell is this nonsense that you're watching?
My wife said that too, but that's...
So I like things about Dougie, but I never came around on the character.
All right. Jackie, Dougie, what do you think?
I love Dougie. I miss Dougie. My Sundays are actually... Do you guys feel this? Like, I feel like my Sundays are more empty now.
I do too. I want some vacant brain guy walking around where I have to just give him coffee to respond.
I know. Oh, I just want a guy to stare at something for like an hour and watch him.
Of course, it's so unrealistic that somebody that vacant would, you know, function and not be sought out and be like a husband and father. And gainfully employed and win lots of money. But, but yeah, that, it's part of the quirkiness. Yeah. Rewatching some of the older stuff. I mean, I don't think there's anything as far out there as Dougie, but,
there were just things with Dougie. I loved when he had to pee at one point, and that was such a huge issue in the show.
It's a plot point.
Yeah, and it was so dumb because before that I hadn't thought of it, but after it I just kept thinking things like, does he brush his teeth? Does Naomi Watts like brush his teeth for him? How does he get anywhere?
Does he wash behind his ears?
Does he shower? Does he sleep? I didn't. Yeah. There were so many questions unanswered about Dougie, but I didn't want any more information.
I think he slept. I'm pretty safe saying he slept pretty well. I don't know. And then, so the relationship with Naomi Watts and Janie, was it? Janie E?
Yeah. Janie E.
She was terrific. But I did love the episode where they connected a little bit. I don't think it's really spoily. I think people listening this far have seen it, but they had their little moment and she was pleased. I thought that was, I mean, not in like a sexual weird way, but I just thought that was actually really moving, just how happy she was with Dougie and her marriage. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Agree?
It was sad, I think.
Sad?
Yeah.
So let's
it
laugh.
It was so sad you're going to laugh about it.
It was sad.
Hilariously sad.
Just because you didn't see what was so missing from her previous life that would lead her to think that that was excellent, you know? that was like deeply satisfying, you know,
fair
outside
enough,
of
fair
just
enough.
Money, you know?
Yeah. So sorry. That's the our male perspective is completely warped.
No, I kind of agree with Jackie because the whole thing with Dougie was so confusing. And then when you found out he had a car accident, I was like, oh, so he was like this before. I assumed he was worse now, but this is just who he is. And then when he shows up at the end, again, this is spoilers all over the place. I was like, is this a happy ending to this Dougie story? I'm sure
weird.
We're supposed to think so, but I was like, maybe she's better off finding someone else. just moving on, maybe.
And maybe Real Coop would be fine for her. I think she was into it. I think she was like, damn, what's this? Dougie. Okay, let's move on from Dougie. All right, what else happened in the second half of season two besides the ending? Anything noteworthy, Jackie?
Okay, let's see. Well, we never get any conclusion to Red and the magic guy, right?
Red and the magic guy.
Last time we saw him, he was making out with Shelley. Yeah, exactly.
And also Sarah Palmer and how she's like eating people in bars with her head,
Sarah Palmer,
I guess.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's great. All right. Well, screw it. Let's get to the ending.
Oh, yeah. She was savage. Oh, that part in the bar, that was amazing.
That was great. And that was crazy. I liked that about the bar. Like, sometimes it would just be like, all right, it's the end of the episode. There's a band playing. You kind of got used to that. It's 18 episodes. And then sometimes, like, something like that would happen. Like, okay, you got to pay attention still. Enjoy a good song. Watch somebody's head ripped off. One of the two, basically. Uh-huh. Sometimes I did tune out towards the end, like the little bar conversations. Yeah.
Oh yeah, when it was sort of younger characters that weren't really characters, just people that showed up at the end in the bar. Yeah,
I still don't quite know who those people were. I think they connected somehow to some of them, but they didn't like explain. Hey, so and so parented this person. I think, you know, they're like, hey, that's Shelley and Bobby's child. Mm-hmm. What's her name? The actress from Mamma Mia, right?
Oh, Amanda Seyfried. Love her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, Aaron, she's in Mean Girls, which, again, I've seen that 20 mm-hmm. times, too, because, again, mm-hmm. it's on TV all the time.
Got it. Are you equating Mean Girls with Silence of the Lambs here?
They're pretty much the same movie. I can't tell a difference.
Yeah, okay.
one has a tiny dog in a basket at one point. I don't remember which movie.
All right. So, okay, from here on, let's do some spoilers. And again, spoiler warning. I'll put time markers in. So, episode 17, 18. I think they were meant to be watched in consecutive order, the same, you know, as like a movie, basically. Do you agree? Okay, silence.
I didn't know if you were going to call on somebody.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess you just spoke, so go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I agree, and I wish I had watched it that way, because I don't think I'm in the minority here. I did watch 17. And I thought it was super amazing. And while I loved the end of 18, I kind of just waited too long and built it up too much. My God, if that was how 17, oh, I can't wait to see 18. And I felt like I was a little bit let down.
So did you like watch it in two separate sittings?
I did, yes.
Okay, yeah. You fucked up. You should have been disappointed with the rest of us. Disappointed is not the word. Jackie, I'm sure you loved it, but all right, the 17 was like some of the best television I've ever seen. I was just like enraptured.
Yes.
And towards the end, but then 18, Jackie, what do you think? And by the way, this isn't class. You can talk without me calling on you.
18, okay, well, I was down for just having the experience while it happened. And then I was disappointed for about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I was just thrilled. Mm. It was absolutely thrilling. Yes.
See, I was kind of watching the internet. Now, I powered through. And, I mean, this was an event, I think. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So episode 17... I was locked in. I just thought that was phenomenal. Even like Mr. Hulk Hands and that whole, I guess
love
Hulk
that.
Hands killed Bob. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And then 18 was some driving. And I won't lie. I kind of like looked at Twitter during the driving just to see how pissed off people were. And I remember watching and people saying, okay, there are 17 minutes left in Twin Peaks. Why the fuck are you still driving? And then it was, all right, there are 10 minutes left in Twin Peaks. You're fucking driving. So did you feel that way? Anybody?
I did, but I feel like, again, that's probably a bad thing to do because people are so reactionary. Like, yeah. I kind of felt that way too. But when I finished it, just like Jackie, I was sort of bummed out for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I did not get on Twitter. I did not get on Facebook. I didn't want to have anything to do with the internet regarding
Twin
Peaks, or at least like 2 days afterward.
Good move. Good move.
And then I went in and I felt like, okay, everybody's calmed down now. I can go in and see what people think. But yeah, I kind of felt the way you did. I was more excited though during the journey. I know what you're talking about with the car and everything, but you know, when
I was too.
When he woke up and he came out of a different hotel and she looked over and she saw herself standing there. Like I was so excited about all of that stuff. Uh-huh.
See, I was expecting like the middle part of Tree of Life where the dinosaurs come up, something that just like, all right, here's 10 minutes of Twin Peaks, everything. Kind of like what we got in episode 8, but you know, maybe a little more clear. I think you're right, Jackie. So you needed about 20 minutes, or in Doug's case, 3 weeks. And then you're like, okay, well, this kind of, it's acceptance, right? It's like, all right, this is it. What you have to then think about what Lynch was going for. And was he messing with us with that 18th episode and really making 17 the finale? I think the big finale.
Well, you know, I have a hard time. Okay. So I have a hard time thinking about it as Twin Peaks anymore.
Right.
Right. So I think I've spoken about this elsewhere. I don't feel that this is a sequel to Twin Peaks.
Really?
I think that David Lynch has taken, characters which we all share in our history, we're all familiar with them from the world of Twin Peaks, and he has taken those characters and constructed a dream out of Twin Peaks. You know, so the whole thing is just dream logic. I think that's where you kind of lose a lot of continuity, and it's at least the best way for me to accept it, because I'm able to get in there and say, oh my gosh, here's this wonderful gift from David Lynch, a dream that he has composed for me, and all I have to do is sit back and like take it in. And through that, maybe I get hints of what Norma really was like, or her ambitions, or, you know, hints of how he feels about Ed, or, you know, his ambitions, or, you know, his just kind of general dream logic of maybe where these people went, or what he wanted to have happen to them, or, you know, the terror of their little micro fiction lives.
So you're saying this is basically Twin Peaks fan fiction from the actual author, kind of in a roundabout way?
I suppose, in a way.
Well, the DVD is called A Limited Event Series. That doesn't sound like season 3 or – so I think you're on to something. And, of course, the ending, they're not in Twin Peaks. You know, that was not Sarah Palmer. Of course, she might have eaten Sarah Palmer. I don't know. so do we have – and I don't really get into the internet theories kind of thing, but I looked at a couple you can pretty much guess. Oh, it was a dream or it was a different dimension. All right, Dougie, do you have theories or do you care or do you like the mystery?
I don't have theories. I enjoy all the theories, though. I'm one of those people who would just read a theory and go, oh, my God, yeah, that totally makes sense. And then I would read a contradictory theory and go, yeah, I totally get it now. No, I don't have a theory, and I don't need a theory. I mean, I was fine with the series ending with him smashing his head against a mirror. Mm-hmm. I was fine with the series ending with a monkey saying Judy. So I'm totally fine with this all wrapping up the way it did.
What is the deal with Judy? Is Judy like the new Bob? Is Judy like evil incarnate? Like,
so, Jow, right?
Do we not talk about Judy?
One thing on Reddit somewhere, somebody found that it's like Zhao Di or something is in, I don't remember if it was in Mandarin, actually translates to something like to explain. So it's the fear of explanation. So there you go.
All right. Well, that is certainly up Lynch's MO. Okay. So scale 1 to 10. We have to put this on a curve. So basically, what you expected from Twin Peaks, The Return, and what you got, and I know those expectations were pretty high, and I think I know your answer, Jackie. So, Doug, 1 to 10, yeah. Twin Peaks, The Return.
10. No doubt about it. 10. Done.
Jackie?
Yeah, 10, obviously. Yeah.
9.8.
What? What is wrong with you?
I loved it.
All right.
That's yeah. I mean, come on.
That's super.
I have
fair.
Like 5 tens in my. Actually, we're gonna get to that. So, all right. Should we move on? Are we done with spoilers? Done with the return?
Let's do
any
it.
Last final yep, thoughts? Sure. Burning. Yeah. Okay. Well, I rewatched Twin Peaks, Firewalk with Me, and so. I know you're already in the tank, so I'll just talk about my experience a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, well, have you guys watched the Blu-ray? Did you get the Criterion?
I did. I did, yes. I haven't watched it. I don't have a 4K player or a 4K television, so I watched the one that is in the other box set that I have. But
it's,
yes,
it's
I rewatched
same.
It.
I think
it's exactly the same.
I think it's the same.
It has the missing pieces. It has the interview, like the black and white interview mm-hmm. with the Palmers, which is super fun. So anyway.
Did you see the table? The
Yeah. That's what
restaurant?
I meant.
Oh, okay. That was on the other one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay. That was cool. What about the one with Cheryl Lee and and Angelo? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Fuck. It really is.
I bought. I spent $20 on the same thing I had. You're telling me
hey,
that I was too lazy
though.
To open because it was like 10 sleeves away.
It's the exact. Hey, people are angry about the Breakfast Club, and I'm not saying they should be angry about Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me, but come on, like that is the same release.
I don't know if you listen, but we are not angry about the Breakfast Club here. We're fine with it.
I'm just saying people.
Oh, yeah.
Not saying
people are. Yeah. They'll find anything. So Jackie, you have the entire mystery, right?
Yeah, I have it.
So are you going to buy it again?
I mean, probably not. I'm probably just going to stream it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you have the disc. You just put it in. It really is the same thing as Doug just indicated. All right. So I watched it again, and I thought it was something like new and amazing. Maybe that colored my impression. So as you remember, I kind of did the shortcuts. I had watched Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me was my first experience with Twin Peaks. And I was like, all right, this is kind of neat, but what the fuck, you know? And so then I watched a season and a half, and I watched Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me, and I was like, okay, I sort of get it. And then I, you know, of course, The Return, which we just talked about. And I first watched The Missing Pieces, which was a lot of fun. Boy, have you both seen The Missing Pieces, the hour and a half of deleted scenes?
Yes.
Okay. I needed to ask. some of those were just so great. The scene with the Palmers and the Norwegian, so much fun. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't put it in the movie. It totally is so much different. Mm-hmm. But and just the other little things like the Black Lodge. I know it's not. I always say Gorgonzola, but it's Garbon. It's Gorgonzola. It's delicious.
Garbanzia.
Yeah.
Or Gorgonzola.
Can we put that on a pizza?
Are you okay, Jackie?
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Apparently, she has a cheese allergy of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Garbanzia. It's cream corn, dude. Come on. David Lynch, who are you fooling here? It's cream corn. You don't put that on the pizza. You put Gorgonzola, so I'm sticking with Gorgonzola. But anyway, and seeing the Bowie stuff, there was more Bowie in there, which I didn't understand why they cut that, because it was all pretty good. So anyway, I watched the movie again, and I think watching The Return, kind of getting it, going down that rabbit hole of Twin Peaks and the lore and trying to piece things together. It was a different experience this time, and I kind of loved it. I actually gave it a 10 out of 10. Is that too reactionary, or are you cool with that?
I'm cool with that. It pertains to your experience, and your experience was good.
That's a good answer.
Exactly.
Great
to
answer.
To be honest, I could not even imagine watching Firewalk with Me having not seen the show. Like, that experience must have been insane.
Wait,
and confusing.
Which show? Oh, you mean the first time?
Yeah, the first time you saw it.
Made no sense. And I think they failed. I can't believe they did that and didn't, like, you know. And this is before, like, Netflix and DVDs and Hulu or all that stuff. But but yeah, they should have said, dude, stop. Don't watch this until you watch the – I know money. Yeah.
What, like a hand stamp? They'd give you a hand stamp if you saw the show and then they wouldn't let you in. They'd be like, this, no, no, go home, buddy. It's
like the Facebook group. You have to pass the test before you get in. I think it was fantastic. And the first part, you know, it's a little disjointed with what's his name, Harry Connick. I enjoyed that stuff too, and seeing how that story did connect. And I guess I didn't really.
Chris Isaac? Okay, sorry.
Oh my God, Harry Connick.
Did I just
Chris Isaac
pull a South Dakota?
I was just like, oh my God, did I not see that part? Oh, okay.
Chris Isaac, Harry Connick, are they different? So just making sure.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know, it's some handsome musician. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, wait, speaking of deleted scenes, the whoop ass on the sheriff. That should have made the movie.
It should have. I watched online. I watched a fan edit where they put all of the missing pieces in place.
Ooh.
So it played as one big, like, 4.5 hour long film.
How'd it play?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, it was fantastic. I just sat in the basement and stared at my computer for 5 hours.
I wonder if, boy, they should have put that out. Well, in that little dinner conversation, he says that the uncut film would be like 4.5 hours. So,
yeah.
I don't know where the hell they'd put that Norwegian. actually, I think that was an extended scene. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved it. Boy, Cheryl Lee, again, I just watched this 3 months ago, but having seen The Return and just kind of getting through that, I guess just I appreciate it more. But Cheryl Lee, that really was a performance for the ages, I think. Maybe I just didn't really pay attention to it as much. But, yeah, she got dark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
It got real dark.
It's not a – there's no Dougie in this movie. It's not a pleasant movie. So
No. No, there's no humor. I mean, maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but
no.
You know, David Lynch tends to put humor in his films. I mean, it's very David Lynch humor, which a lot of people don't get, but that thing is dark start to finish.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
With the exception of the redheaded dancing girl in the airport hangar and then the piecing together all the messages.
Mm-hmm. I guess. I remember being very scared of her when I first saw it. Like,
yeah. Really,
that little butter face she makes.
There's something wrong with this woman and I am super terrified right now.
Yeah, and of course it's so illogical that, like, she's communicated 20 things in, like, the span of 30 seconds. But that part was very Twin Peaks-ish, you know, seasons 1, 2, and 3, or The Return, or whatever. So anyway, I love Fire Walk With Me, and I really love all the Black Lodge stuff, and even that guy, that he's an asshole, but the backward-speaking little guy. And actually, I wish he wasn't an asshole because I think he would have made The Return even better.
Would have been so nice, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a total weirdo.
I'm sure he's thought of that. He's like, man, why did I – I hope he has. Why did I Trump? That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, why is Trump? He such a creep? They had to make a tree, and that was fine, I guess, but come on, man.
A teapot.
That's weird.
Yeah, a tree. Was he – well, they put that Bob, the one-armed guy – not Bob. Who's the one-armed guy?
Mike,
yeah.
That's Mike, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was notably absent, I think, from the red and white room. So Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, recommendation to the listeners. Buy it or no?
Go ahead. Joke it.
Yeah,
if you've
seen Twin Peaks, definitely buy it.
Okay.
If you haven't, like, don't buy it. Just don't bother.
Don't go through what I did.
No.
This 30-year journey.
And Aaron, here's what I would say, and this goes back to I don't know if you talked about it in the last episode or the episode before when you were talking about Barry Lyndon and you sort of wish that it was in that. I love how all three of Lynch's films on Criterion are in those digipacks. It's so nice. They look great together.
Yeah.
So, yes, buy the movie.
Yeah. Okay. I miss a lot of that, but and so did our listeners. But it was I got the.
I was super excited about something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you were. No, I think we got it. All right, buy it. If you don't have the entire mystery, buy it. If you do, then flip to page ten. Sorry.
I am recording my audio separately, just in case. No, just in case.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
No, you're not. you can be, but you could just play it back to yourself.
No, you're right. Okay.
All right. So are we done Firewalk with Me? Should we talk about some art stuff?
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, art stuff.
The art life. So, all right. Like I said, I watched it. I enjoyed it. I was bored by it the second time, but not through any fault of its own. It's just, you don't really rewatch documentaries. I'd rather look at the art. So had you seen this before? And I guess I should call on somebody, and I'll call on Jackie.
Yes, I have seen it, and I loved it. And for me, it does have a lot of rewatch value. Cause it's one of those movies you can pop in and just zone out to, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I might not have given it a chance. I think I put it on last night. Is that a Star Wars shirt you're wearing?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Sorry.
Jackie, I have one too. We said we were going to wear Star Wars shirts.
Oh my gosh. No.
Sorry, wow. Aaron. We didn't tell you this. This is what we do.
I don't have a Star Wars shirt. I might have gone to the store to buy one, but no, I wouldn't have.
Oh my gosh, I have so many.
Wow. Okay. You guys have, for a Twin Peaks podcast.
Wait, this isn't a Star Wars podcast?
we can switch gears if you want. You want to talk The Last Jedi trailer?
No.
Okay. The Art Life. I almost said Mark. Doug. Doug, have you watched The Art Life?
I did. I think it's good. I think it's supplement worthy.
Yeah.
I don't know about a standalone release. I could watch David Lynch talk about anything. I could listen to him tell any sort of story. It's good. I don't know that I would rewatch it. I think I'm in the same camp as you here, Aaron.
I think, but I think watching that and seeing how he approaches his art, I think it kind of gives some insight into how he approaches film. And his art is not exactly – I mean, there's not a lot of Dougie in his art. It's more teapot and exploding heads, you know. It's pretty – you know, I know he is an artist, but I do look at that, and I think they even touch on it in the documentary, and they think, all right, are you disturbed? And I kind of wonder, is he? Is he all right? I mean, he's creative. We know that.
You know, he's pretty old. It's too far to turn back now.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying he's going to go to rehab.
He's not going
to weird rehab. What'd you say, Jackie?
Does David Lynch need help? Wow.
Should we have a weird intervention? Weird invention? Okay, that didn't work. Okay, The Art Life. So it's like reduced price. I think it's $32. You can probably get it for $16 during flash sale. So buy it or no?
Flash sale, yes.
Okay, Doug.
I was gonna say, I mean, unless you're a completist, I would say no. I don't think it's worth it.
Like,
you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Rent it for $3.99. Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't buy.
Don't. All right. Okay. All right. It's Criterion. Don't listen. All right. So that's Twin Peaks. Are we done with David Lynch forever? Or do you want to pick this back up the next time he comes out with something?
Yeah, next time.
Okay.
Aaron, if Lost Highway is ever released, yeah, please have me on if Lost Highway comes out. It is my favorite of his films. Please, please, please.
Okay, but Dune.
No, I'm not.
Dune,
gosh.
Dune.
Yeah,
Dune.
Leave me out of that.
No,
you're
come on.
Have to find two different people.
No.
Doug and Jackie.
You just signed.
It's not going to be.
You just signed up. You said David Lynch. You're on board. Dune is great. Okay,
no
so
spice.
Let's. We're out of no spice. Doug's eyes are turning blue. I think Jackie's are turning red. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And that's not what I meant, by the way. All right. So, short takes. Do we want to do these or do we want to just stop while we're ahead?
Short takes.
Speed through.
Okay. Well, Doug, do you have one?
My short take is Personal Shopper because I – I love it. I love it. I love the movie.
Really?
Kristen Stewart is so cool. She's so cool. Like,
I love that.
Kristen Stewart fans and said, like, I want to dress like her and I want to look like her and I want to act like her. I would be totally on board. You're not hearing any of this, are
this
you?
Is it's come totally out so great.
And now I'm just snapping.
I think you went, the fun. You went,
yep. Anyway, I loved the film. It was nothing that I thought it would be.
Really?
And I'm a huge fan of what's his name? Asayas or Asayas?
Yeah.
Asayas or
I don't know.
Anyway, that's it. We'll see how much of this actually comes through when it's up.
You're good now. But okay. It's kind of a genre mishmash. And it's there's a lot of Kristen Stewart too. Like she is so into the movie. She's great, but almost, I don't want to say too much because I think she's a great actress, but I think she could have benefited from playing off something other than text messages. I liked it too, but not as much as you. Like, are you 10 out of 10 kind of liking it or like?
No, not 10 out of 10, but I appreciate it.
Are you hearing this, Jackie?
You saw a ghost and I was like, what kind of movie is this going to be? And it never went down any traditional sort of genre rabbit hole. And it always stayed true to itself. That it was more of a character study. And I really enjoyed it for that.
And the fashion. Have you seen it, Jackie?
Yeah, I loved it. Kristen Stewart, it completely turned me around on her. She's amazing. Oh.
Do you all like Sils Maria?
Love it.
Okay, I do too. Some people do hate it. I really enjoyed that, and I liked Stewart, and I liked how she played against Binoche, whatever you say it, Stewart. So anyway, good choice. I got the Criterion this week, and I'll watch it. But I just watched it like 3 months ago before I knew it was Criterion. So. Mm-hmm. All right, Jackie, do you have a short take? It can be personal shopper again if you want. It's fine. We couldn't hear Doug. So
Say whatever you want.
You could have just spoken over that.
Okay, my short take. So I just watched House for the first time, right?
Whoa.
I've been seeing the name pop up all over the place, of course, especially in Criterion forums, et cetera. And you always see the poster on Filmstruck or through the Criterion channel.
Little
However,
kitty.
That poster is extremely misleading.
Yes.
I was not expecting such
You're
a
kitty,
hairball.
Kitty.
Yeah, a hairball, adorable, like total mind F.
All right, the cat was adorable.
That was presented with House. It was so cute. Oh my gosh.
It killed things, but that's okay.
It
had laser eyes.
This thing is wild. It's like I had written somewhere, it's like bed knobs and broomsticks, shoved through a meat grinder, cast with like a Japanese Mickey Mouse Club, like of all girls meets, oh my gosh, I don't know, like some weird Japanese girl group. It's just insane.
It
I loved
defies
it.
Categorization.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. One of the best movie experiences I've ever had. So thank you, Criterion people of the world.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun talking about that with Dave and Jackie. Dave and Jackie. Boy, I just married you with another guest, Dave and Jessica, and then also Mark Kearney. We had a lot of fun. That's a great Halloween movie. It's so screwed up. Yeah, and so if you like that, watch Happiness of the Katakuris if you can. I pitched that a few times.
Okay.
Warped, not in the same way, but just watch it. So.
Is it by the same director, or is this similar film?
Yeah, similar film. It's by the Takeshi Miike, Mikey. He has two eyes. I don't know how you do that. How that works. But the guy that did Audition, but it's nothing like Audition or he's H.G. the Killer, stuff like that. So.
Oh, okay.
All right. I don't actually have a short take because I just didn't have time. So
this is why you wanted to skip them.
I just wasn't sure if you had anything. I guess I'll talk Rebecca because I watched it like a month ago and I rewatched it and it's fantastic. I don't really credit Hitchcock. I think Hitchcock was like a hired hand, and this was really a Selznick picture. And I'm actually kind of critical of Selznick and how he would kind of over-engineer things and make them, like, really weepy, which is certainly the case here. But, yeah, I love this movie. And, it just hits me in the right place. It's actually one of the best adaptations, too. I actually read the book in college, Rebecca by Demarié. And of course, it's not faithful completely. You can't be with a two-hour movie. Really one of the best one of the best. So I was glad to see that on Criterion. Great Criterion treatment too. A lot of supplements. So do you like Rebecca? Seen it?
Love Rebecca. I can't wait to see the Criterion treatment of it.
It's really good. Yeah. Really good. So it's a romance. Well, it's kind of a romance. It's like,
yeah, kind of.
Yeah. It's
spooky romance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like scary, but
like the Bronte-ish spooky.
Yeah, like gothic spooky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. Have you seen it, Dougie?
Yeah, it's a great film, and the Criterion release is fantastic.
Oh, you should have said that like 5 minutes ago. We were pitching it to you, Dougie.
I'm afraid to talk, just to let you guys know.
He might have said it, in fairness.
We
might have said
it. I'm afraid to say anything.
Okay, well, so anyway, all right, well, this has been fun so far, but... So Filmstruck, should we talk about this stuff?
I'm
just trying to end the show. It's nothing personal.
Okay. I don't have Filmstruck, so we can skip it, or you guys can just talk and I'll sit back.
Well, there's stuff to talk about. You've watched the movies. Yeah. So, okay. Well, actually today they included a directed by Nikita Mikhalkov. And I'm into movies. Duh. I have a podcast and write things. Uh-huh. I had to Google him, and actually Google didn't really get him. They thought I was asking about a different, like, I had to put in like 10 characters before it really said, oh, this guy.
Huh?
Pretty obscure.
Is he done now?
Oh,
now it's you this time. Yes.
What?
I like you and I were just standing there frozen. I'm like, wait, who's frozen?
Oh, no, no. I was talking. Listen to the tape. We're at about an hour in.
This is making for great podcasting.
I know. We're talking about Skype problems.
If anybody's heard this part listening, I commend you.
So, Nikita Mikhalkov, what do you think? Jackie?
Nikita Mikhalkov, who is this?
That's what I just said. Were you not paying attention?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to find my notes. I closed them.
It actually just came out today, so you wouldn't know. So, and I'm not going to repeat myself because it's a podcast and people already heard my track. Mm-hmm. So, Doug, do you know Nikita Mikhail? I've like said it like five different ways now.
No, I don't. I don't. That's a blind spot for me.
Well, he is the director of the week, and he put out – apparently he's like some big Russian he like ran the Russian Film Institute or whatever the equivalent of like the AFI is. Okay. So yeah, anyway, there's 8 films of his. There's also a Hard Times, which is about poor people.
Okay.
We've all been there. So Modern Times, Waterloo Bridge, Bicycle Thieves, Oliver Twist. I'm not going to read them all. But the big deal is Greed by Eric von Stroheim. I don't know if you're a silent film geek, Jackie. Or if you know anything about it?
I do not know anything about this.
All right, Dougie?
No, I mean, I've heard of it, and it is not the Michael J. Fox movie of the same name.
No, it's not. Eric von Stroheim was 6 feet under. it's kind of legendary, and actually I'm glad you don't know it, because I can. There's a little bit of history behind it. So it was like a 9-hour silent film. And by Eric von Stroheim. If you've seen Grand Illusion, he's the butler guy. His director career ended later because he wasn't playing with the studios, because he basically made 9-hour movies and some other, you know, he took a lot of artistic license. Didn't do well. The studio cut it down to 2 hours. There was a reconstructed cut of like 4 hours, but it was basically like the movie and then some still shots, maybe some like commentary, kind of like the roadshow of It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, if you've seen that.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's basically like a sacred cow. We'll never see the 9-hour version. And apparently it's great. I don't know anybody that's seen it, but you know, that's what they say. But the 4-hour version is still pretty good. And then TCM ran like a 2-hour version like 20 years ago. So I was curious which version it would be, and it is the 2-hour version, which is actually probably the lamest, I think. People correct me. So I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to hold out for the 9-hour because I'm not going to see it, but I'll wait for the reconstructed. Any listeners that have made it through Doug's Skype, please tell us if there's any way to see that good version. I think he was shaking.
This is my last time on this podcast. Just to let people know that.
Well, it is because you can't connect to the internet. Right now. I'm kidding. Over. I'm kidding. This has been fun. It's actually not that bad. Poor people movies. Any thoughts, Doug? Since you might not have a connection. we're all poor.
No, of the ones that you mentioned, I mean, of course, I'm a big fan of silent film. I really enjoy silent film and any Chaplin. I absolutely love. I showed my daughter's Chaplin. We sat and we watched it, and I didn't know how a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old would react, but they loved it. It was wildly entertaining for them. I don't know about greed. I don't know if they'd be into
don't
that.
Don't bother.
right. But no, I'm on board for this stuff, definitely.
Yeah, Chaplin is oddly accessible. It's amazing. Speaking of centennials, I mean, God. Yeah.
I mean, I showed my 7-year-old when she was 7. I showed her Beauty and the Beast, and she was captivated. She could not read the subtitles fast enough, didn't understand what was going on, but visually she was super into it. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, there was also Pather Panchali, Once Were Warriors, so a couple other things. It's not all silent films. Criterion Channel, we had Le Corbeau. So it's about letter writing, occupation film. Have you seen it, either of you?
I have not.
No, but I'm excited to go through that little collection they have of France during German occupation, which this is a part of.
Yeah. I think it's great. And this is actually very scathing towards the occupation. But and it's really not that subtle. I kind of wonder what was wrong with you Germans to let us?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, obviously it didn't work out for them. But, it's a great film. I recommend it. It's actually very kind of a big deal that it's on Filmstruck because it's out of print. So then we had short feature Doodlebug and Following by Chris Nolan. So, Jackie, you like Chris Nolan?
Yeah, you know, I actually haven't seen either of these. So I haven't seen, his first few works. I appreciate him. I'm not searching out all of his early works, but I'll definitely catch up on this soon.
Okay.
Have you guys seen The Following? Is it good? Does it,
it's good.
Set you up for the rest of his career?
Yeah. I really enjoy it. It's very Memento-ish. So if you enjoyed Memento, it's a very early sort of Memento student film. It's really nice. So.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Like, I wouldn't put Following and then The Dark Knight or Dunkirk, but maybe Following and Inception a little bit. I think it is good. It's maybe not a student film, but the next rung above. So it is good. I haven't seen Doodlebug. That might be a student film. I don't know. So anyway, there was also an Observations on Film Art, Brute Force, The Actor's Toolkit, and we had a very short turnaround for this, so I didn't watch this. So, but that's actually with one of my favorite people in the world, present company excluded, David Bordwell. So Brute Force, Jules Dassin, Doug, you know it?
I love it. I love the film. I think it's phenomenal. Burt Lancaster, I'll kind of watch anything that he's in, and I think that this is probably his best performance. I'm not a big fan of Leopard as a lot of other people are, but Brute Force is amazing.
You don't like those mutton chops, is that it?
That's it. Yeah, that's my only problem.
It's
like,
a fashion objection. Well, the actual supplement is The Actor's Toolkit, so I think it does talk about Lancaster. And
it's a little...
Oh, you watched it, Jackie?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what'd you think?
It's good. Well, I actually watched it right before watching Brute Force proper, so it was nice. It kind of gives you, fills you in on or makes the connection between their performances and the film itself. The movie, I enjoyed. You know, I love Dustin. I watched Rafifi for the first time a few months ago, and oh my gosh.
It's awesome.
One of the best movies I've ever seen.
Great
I
heist
loved
film.
It. So, yeah. And so you can see, especially towards the end of Brute Force, when it has that climactic, you know, mm-hmm. prison situation, it's great to see that he was at that time, which is before Rafifi, still effectively doing like a dynamic, almost dialogue free build up, like with just intense. Tension.
Very intense.
intense tension.
Yeah, that's it. And yeah, it's been a short while since I've seen it, but there's a scene, I think it's towards the middle, and that's when we lose a character that is like, for 1940, whatever, it's kind of harrowing. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Okay. So, moving on. We had a Friday night double feature, which is very Halloween-ish, The Strangler and Fiend Without a Face. So, I've seen Fiend Without a Face. It's fine. Thoughts?
I haven't seen either of these, but I did read the description for them, and that piqued my interest. So,
They're okay.
Read that.
We recommend that paragraph.
Yes. Read
it's
that paragraph.
Well worth your 30 seconds.
Halloween movies, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you like goofy, like 50 schlock,
right.
That's what A Fiend Without a Face is. And it's fine. It's not going to – I don't know. It's okay, you so put it on the background. Yeah, whatever.
The summary describes the special effects as being – particularly amazing. Would you compare?
Was this summary written in 1950?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I got
for 1950. If I remember, it's a short movie. I think all of these movies were pretty short. That's one thing about old genre movies is they're not that long. Like, you don't get 9-hour genre movies. So you're in and out, go to sleep, have your... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. There was a split screen season 8. I think we basically... moved on from that. Do we care? Anybody here?
Next. No, okay. Not really.
Actually, you know, I hate to say it. I think because of I've seen like who's on it and stuff on all the other seasons, and it just makes me think of that damn Harvey Weinstein. Not to bring that all that garbage up,
yeah.
But I can't watch it because there's gonna be it's that era. So yeah, sorry.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't watch it. It's bad. even though I haven't seen even an episode.
Sure.
All right, there were some additions. Edge of the World, La Fons New. More by Barbet Schroeder. Intimate Relations. Got anything? Anybody?
No.
No?
No, I don't either.
Edge of the World seems kind of interesting. I did read the Wikipedia on that.
Oh yeah. Would you recommend that Wikipedia?
Yes.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 out of 10. You know, like a dying village, you know, on a tiny island in Scotland full of fog and
Jackie, have you ever thought about just starting a podcast and it's like Jackie's Wikipedia summaries and it's just a different movie that you haven't seen, but you just read the summary and you're like, that sounds pretty good.
You could dissect the synopsis.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people do have podcasts about trailers. I haven't gotten that.
Yeah,
but
know.
Yeah, and it's
really?
Kind of the same thing, just in visual form.
I'd listen to it just to let you know.
You do? Oh, you listen to Jackie.
Yeah,
Jackie,
yeah.
Make it happen.
Cool.
Jackie's Wikipedia goodies.
Yeah. Be a subsection on Law and Order episodes. I hope you guys are ready.
All right. I wonder if he gets convicted. The Edge of the World is – I haven't seen it, but I did a Pal and Pressburger episode and did some studying. So I know it's kind of important, one of his better pre-Pressburger movies. So it's pretty cool. So, all right. We talked about Twin Peaks and David Lynch and some other things and Wikipedia. So how about Piece of Flair? And Skype.
Oh, my God.
Doug, what's your Piece of Flair?
My Piece of Flair is simply that if people are not subscribed to Amazon Prime, they should be. It has
The Art Life.
David Lynch, The Art Life. But also, and Aaron, oops, not that I'm surprised you didn't bring this up during your... What are you laughing? What's going on?
I'm sorry. I turned on my iPad to and hello played for Twin Peaks. I don't know if the mic picked it up, but...
When you did your Arrow episode, I'm surprised that you guys didn't mention, and it was a great conversation, but Prime has a lot of that Arrow stuff up for streaming.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I mean, Blood Rage, which you guys railed against, Blood Rage is up there. Most of their U.S. releases, but there's also a lot of giallo and stuff like that. So, so go to Amazon Prime, like look up Arrow titles. You'll find a lot of stuff that you know. If you don't know if you want to shell out 20, 25, 30 bucks for the blue,
40,
you can watch it on there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Depending.
Anything else?
No.
Nothing else? Nothing?
No, that's all I got. No, that's
okay.
All, just, that's all I'm going to talk
this
about.
This is good information.
I thought there might be one more thing. Might be one more thing, but what do I know?
Jackie? The other thing I was going to say is...
Oh, there is one more thing.
You're kind of pushing me toward it. You have the Google Doc.
You wrote it down.
No, I was going to say, if anybody is as saddened by the fact that the next... Shout release of MST3K is going to be their last new DVD release. Riff Tracks, there's a ton of Riff Tracks on Amazon Prime as well. So, you know, sort of the second wave, like the Mike,
it's funny,
Kevin and Bill. It's great. It's great, and it's on there as well. And I find myself like, I know Stranger Things is on Netflix, but if I'm looking for something to watch, I go to Amazon Prime now, and Netflix is like, fifth or sixth, like behind.
I'm with you.
GCM.
I wonder why I have it. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
such a shame. I used to love it, but that was when I got discs. I love that.
You also get things quick too. Like what you press a button and it's at your house. I love Riff Tracks, so I wanted you to cover that. In fact, I just kind of Googled the Amazon Prime, and the first one that comes up is Miami Connection, and that's like one of the funniest movie experiences I've had is their Riff Tracks of that.
It's amazing.
Very, very funny. And it's a little dorky, but we all love bad movies. If you love bad movies and making fun of them, just hang out with those guys. I'd actually recommend it over the MST, the new stuff, even though it's fine. Jackie, do you have a piece of flair?
My flair is from Netflix.
Ooh,
that would be Stranger Things.
Number five.
Okay, so I just started watching Stranger Things today, along with Half the World, and it's living up to everything that I could possibly imagine. I'm only two episodes in, but it's fantastic. Wait,
into the first one?
Into the new season.
Oh, yes, okay, season two came out today. It's a big deal, Doug.
Okay.
Where you been?
Yeah, so season two came out today. Today's Friday, so it came out at 3 this morning. I did not stay up for it. But yeah, it still maintains that... So this is happening a year later over Halloween. It still maintains that lovely kind of Stephen King, you know, Stand By Me, you know, turned on its head. It's awesome. Okay. Recommend.
I watched like 20 minutes of it, of the first season, but like, you know, a bad time, like when I was just like, okay, let me find something to watch. And I never finished it. So you'd recommend?
Oh my gosh. It's wonderful.
The whole thing?
You know, oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It really appealed. You know, I know that they intentionally kind of appealed to 80s aesthetic, but they also really capture that wonderful Amblin spirit. Hmm. Mixed with like Del Toro. So it's really great.
There are actually some podcasts about that 80s thing, just FYI.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
Do you like Stranger Things, Dougie?
Yeah. Jackie, I do, though. I have to watch the first one again because I binged it like it. Two nights I blew through the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
And it was a year ago, and now I'm like, I don't know, there was something about waffles or whatever. Like I don't remember it. I need to go back and rewatch.
That's the peril of binge watching.
Right.
I did that with Mr. Robot, and Mr. Robot is a very complicated show. So I watched the first season, binge it like over 2 days, and then like a year later watched the second season, and it was great, but like I just couldn't. It was like watching two separate movies 10 years apart, kind of like
If I could hold off Like I did this with Lost and with Downton Abbey. I will wait till the series ends and then watch the whole thing. Like that's
you should.
That's the way to do it.
You should have just cut your losses with Lost. Mm-hmm. You could should have cut your losses.
Maybe it was because I watched it within like 2 or 3 weeks. I didn't understand the anger.
Okay.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah. 5 years of your life, you might have.
I still can't believe the ending. Like, all these years later, I'm still like, did that really happen?
I know. Okay. They should have just asked what year it was and then moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I don't really have a piece of flair because I literally recorded my podcast and edited it like 3 days ago. So,
Eric, did you prep for this episode? I'm not sure that.
I had to have a job. A little bit. I did watch Fire Walk With Me. That was kind of a big deal.
All right.
Yeah, that's really good.
And all the features, supplements, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but I did buy things. And in fact, this just so happened to be one of the biggest weeks of like my mailman bringing me stuff in forever. It's not that I bought a whole bunch right now, just pre-orders or whatever. So yesterday I got the thing. And then after our Arrow episode a couple weeks ago, I ordered the Herschel Gordon Lewis Feast, and it was like $50 off Amazon. I don't know. I might hate it. I don't know. You're giving me the thumbs up. You think I'll like it?
I love it. I love it, but I love that nonsense. Like, it is – it's super fun, though.
Is it kind of like bad movie plus gore schlock? Okay.
Yep.
I can get into that. But it is like a brick. Like, not – it's like – it makes bricks look weak. In fact, I got it. I forgot that I ordered it because it showed up right away. And I was like, my poor postman had to lug this thing around.
Did you get the huge box or the one that looks like a cereal box?
The cereal box one. It's not.
Okay.
Not
okay. That's the one I have. Okay. Yeah. So you didn't spend like $500 on that limited edition. Like that thing's crazy.
I didn't realize it. Somebody else mentioned it. I thought, oh, no, that's what I got. Whoa. But no. I don't need that. It was fine. Also got Carl Dreyer. I got some Region B stuff. I got Forbidden Games finally. So I bought a lot of stuff. It was pretty cool. Buy stuff. So anywhere, where can people find you?
Aaron's piece of flair is bragging. That's it.
Well, it's my mailman. It's about timing.
He's just hoping he listens and you're like, I'm so sorry. That was so much stuff. Yeah,
it's my ode to mailman. It's my episode. So, okay. Well, where can people find you online, Dougie?
All right. Well, they can find my show and not me. You can go to goodtimesgreatmovies.com or on Twitter at GTGMcast or on Facebook, Good Times Great Movies. You can find it. You guys know where.
Any other titles for Halloween or for November?
No, we did Blood the Rage. Halloween. All the Halloween stuff that I talked about, you didn't hear at the beginnings, but everybody else did.
Actually, I didn't hear about it, yeah.
But I do have to say in December – oh, somebody's dog's barking or something.
That's my dog.
Okay. In December, we always do a theme month, and this month is going to be 3D-cember. So we're going to cover a lot of the terrible 3D movies between like 81 and 83 when that was in fashion. And there was like the Jaws one and the Friday the 13th. So
are you going to watch them in 3D? Like, do you have a 3D player?
No, I don't. But I feel like, what do they call it if it's the blue and red glasses? What's that called?
Yeah. Well, 3D glasses.
3D glasses.
No. I know there's a name for that process.
It's blue and red,
But you can find them online. Like, you can find them on YouTube that way. So all I have to do is get a pair of those glasses, and I'll watch them that way.
Those movies are kind of fun to watch, like them just put stuff in front of the camera. Yep. And actually, I don't know if you ever watched SCTV. They did a great spoof of that. Just putting their hand in front of the – ooh, ooh. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Jackie, can people find you anywhere? Go ahead. Sorry, I'm getting excited about your answer before you answer. Jackie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Letterboxd. My username is Bonpants, BonPants, or on Twitter, which I don't really tweet at all, but you can find me there under O Carlson, OHCARLSON.
I got excited because I didn't know you had a Twitter. I just followed you.
I do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yay!
I didn't know. So,
you're one of like 15.
Actually,
Jackie, when can we expect your Wikipedia movie podcast?
Yeah, you need to get on that.
I'm super excited about it, just to let you know.
Oh, good. I have so much Wikipediaing to do.
You know, my wife's actually writing a book about Wikipedia. Like, not to get all one up academic, but a Wikipedia podcast would be cool. Let's make it happen. We'll hook you up.
Okay.
She can read about the entries, and you can summarize. You can critique them.
Definitely.
All right. Well, it's been a great time, and Doug, your Skype has not been that bad. It's just been another good joke. So, David Lynch, thumbs up. Thanks for joining me on this Friday night. And all right, always fun.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you.